and I need in my pocket. I need to move a little bit. Okay. So I want to share a little bit of what is your average age here? 15? 17? 20? 17? Okay, that's good enough for me to start my story. I want to share with you the day I've made the biggest mistake in my life. The biggest mistake I made in my life when I was about 14 years old. I'm going to be, in 12 days' time, I'm going to be 69. And I've lived with that mistake all these years. And it wasn't marrying Babs. That was the best thing I ever did, all right? But I want to just share with you about this mistake that I did. I was at high school. Now, we have, I don't know, I've heard you have little school, middle school, preschool, this kind of school, K group. I am totally confused. You American guys have confused me completely. You play football with a rugby ball and we play soccer. Or we play football with a round ball. You play soccer with I'm a bit confused. You play this game called baseball. Huh? We play cricket. Anybody know about cricket? 5 days you play some of the games. Not continually, okay, you stop to sleep and to eat and that. But we play at least 7-8 hours a day for 5 days, one game. Don't look at me like that, I promise you we do. Okay, so that's what we do. So we do things differently. And since I've been here, I've heard people slating each other on TV, and I heard Clinton's been trumped by a guy. I heard Barney's gone on a cruise. I don't know what it means, I promise you. Just these things I just made up as I go along. But you know what happened when I was... So I went to high school. We go to high school the year we turned 13. I chose to go to a technical school. Now, what is a technical school? We didn't do history, we didn't do Latin, we didn't do literature. Had an unrounded life in our lives. No literature, thank you Lord, no poetry, nothing like that. No writing up a book report. I remember when I first had to write up a book report, I thought, oh my goodness me. Dear Jesus, just help me on this one. I didn't know what to do. but I was there, but we did things like metalwork. The big chunks of iron, we had to cut up wood, we had to make tables and things. It was just absolutely wonderful. And I found during that time, at about the age of 13, the year I turned 13, 14, that I would get splinters in my hands. And they wouldn't hurt me. It didn't bother me. Okay? I would do some welding and I'd burn my hands and I'd see there'd be a blister and it wouldn't hurt me. I did nothing. And have you ever seen a rugby ball? That's what you call a football. Okay? And we were so tough in those days that we didn't even play with shoes. We played barefoot and we'd kick this rugby ball, and after about 25 kicks, your foot is as red as that. But you know what? And then eventually everybody would get tired and we'd stop playing. Not me. I could carry on because I had no feeling in my feet. Strange, isn't it? But you know, I thought, I don't know if any of you guys, there's a thing called adolescence. You have so many hormones in your body, they're falling out of your body, you don't know what to do with them all, you know. Do you have it yet, America? Okay. And I went through a stage where my ears would go red. Just suddenly you're saying, I don't know what you girls have, okay, but that was us guys. And we had all these different things. These just hormones just rushing as you're trying to balance out your life. So you know what I just thought? This happens to everybody. Have you ever done this in life where something happens to you, you know it's not right, but you just say it's happening to? Thank you. The rest of you, are you still sleeping? This just happens to? Yes. All guys, everybody, this is just happening. Everybody can't feel with their hands. Everybody can't feel with their feet. And just so I went through school Remember, I told you this was the year I made some of the biggest mistakes in the biggest mistake in my life. I lived in denial. I was saying there's nothing wrong with me, I am all right, and the biggest mistake is it's happening to everybody. Everybody's doing it. I can remember arguing with my mother, "Ah, but Mom, everybody's doing it, but you're not doing it." "Mom, everybody's doing it." You can help me, okay? This is yes. This is no. And if you don't know, just go around like this, okay? I'm not going to bother what you do anyway. I'm going to tell you what I want to tell you anyway. But, yeah? Have you ever said everybody's doing it? Yeah? And you're smarter than your parents? I just was so dumbfounded. My parents never knew what was happening in life, you know? And then when I got to 23, I was surprised at how much they'd learnt in those years. So here I am. I'm not feeling in my hands. I'm not feeling in my feet. But I never told anybody. Really, when I think back now, it's quite serious, isn't it? Lived in that denial. You know what? I just carried on. And I began to get these numb feelings all over my body. Sort of came up from my feet, my knees, and that. And then I met a lady in my life. Guys, you know what it's like when you meet a nice lady? Okay. You will find out, okay? It's great. You girls, you know what it's like when you meet a nice guy? No, not yet, okay. Oh, come on, you guys, you've got no charm with all these chicks around the place. Come on, man. Okay. And I meet this lady in my life over here. And we got married in August 1970. Were you born then?
Yes, I was.
So, quite a long time ago, hey? And I got married in August that 1970. And then I came out in a rash all over my body. I went to the doctor and he says, "I know what's wrong with you." I said, "Oh, what is it?" He says, "You have got an STI. Do you know what an STI is?" Okay, we'll change it. "You've got an STD. You know what an STD is?" Come on, we're real. Yes. You know what it is. And I said, "That's untrue." He said, "Yes, you have." So he took a test and it came back positive. Can you imagine? We've only been married since August now, in the November, and they tell me this thing, and we know it's not true. It's hard. Guys, it's hard. So when I chatted to Babs, and both of us had a life philosophy of keeping the best gift that we could give our life's partner, we kept that. Because you know, there's some things you can always give money away. But there's some things in life you can only give away once. Save it for your life's partner. Okay, save it. Don't give your partner a second-hand person. Save. We did that. So we knew we could not have an STD. Is it okay to talk like this, Coach?
Absolutely.
Okay. I don't know your culture here, but so that's what I did. And what actually happened is they treated me for this, and they said, "No cure. We think you're going to go mad from the disease." Went to a doctor and he scraped something and he took another test. And then I was invited in to see another doctor, and I went in and he said to me, "We know what's wrong with you." So I said, "Oh, great." Imagine when you've gone all these months and you've been told you have an STD, you know you haven't got it, you just got married and you're trying to live through all these things with all these things going through your heart and in your mind, and the doctor says, "Yes, we found out." Could you imagine how happy I was? I was jumping about this high without getting off the chair. Inside, I was just bouncing on. "And we've got a cure for it." I said, "That's even better. Wonderful." I said, "Is it an STD?" And he said, "No." Oh, so suddenly, all this time has been totally wasted. The pain, the acne that goes with it. He says, "You've got Hansen's disease." So I said, "Oh, wonderful." "What's Hansen's disease?" Have you ever heard of Hansen's disease? Have you heard of leprosy? That's exactly what it is. I'd had leprosy. I had a thing called erythematous leprosy, which is the worst case of leprosy you can get. Can you imagine what it felt like? You're in the first team. You're in the nationals. You're going to take the first draft. Then just suddenly you break a leg. Doosh. You have a disease we can cure. Yes, wonderful. It's leprosy. Who can have that disease? We worked out the drug regime. And I went home to my wife. I think she's pretty. She's still pretty. I don't allow her to dye her hair because if she did, they'd think she was my daughter. Guys, let me give you a tip. Say nice things about chicks, eh? Don't you girls like to hear nice things?
Yes.
Yeah, come on, you see. You should be saying, yes, yes, yes. Teach these guys something, you know. So we sat down and we talked about it. And we said, look, we can annul our marriage and then you can go on with life. If I knew I had leprosy, I must have never got married. She said, no way. I said, I love you. You're not real lovers? She said, we stood before God and men one day. And we made a commitment to each other, to God, and everybody heard it, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness, in health, until death us do depart. She says, I'm not going against that promise. I said, but I've got this disease. She says, no disease can separate that promise we made to God. It's quite serious, isn't it? 5 years later, she came out in blotches and she was diagnosed with leprosy. If that isn't love, what is love? We share everything. Anyway, I was a very late diagnosis and you can see this. And One day I stood in a basin with hot water. My feet had cracked because leprosy makes your skin very dry. And I put down this basin and I stood in it. And I burnt my feet. I got home that evening after work. I took my shoes off and I'd boiled my feet from my ankles down. As a result, 3 years later, I'd have an amputation. My wife doesn't have all the problems. So you see, late diagnosis, early diagnosis. I still have no feeling in my hand. You know, have you ever bumped your funny bone? What's the feeling when you bump your funny bone? Okay. Yeah. Do you know why it's called the funny bone? Sure. It's because this bone here is called a humerus. It's the humerus bone in your body. Now, I have that pain for 50 years in my life, 24/7, because of the nerve damage. Anyway, what happens is an infection sets into my leg, and eventually they cut off the one toe, cut off the next toe, cut till eventually they said, we can't, got no more toes to cut off, we've got to cut your leg off. So they amputated me. What was my biggest mistake? I lived in denial. I didn't tell anybody, I thought everybody was doing it. My second mistake is anesthesia set in. I couldn't feel what was going on. My third mistake was an infection and then amputation. Since then I've walked with 1.5 legs. I promise you, it has its ups and downs. I've also come to the conclusion that the average human being does not have two legs. You work that one out? There's your mathematician, prof. Prof. But now, how does that lead to us to today? Where am I going to with my story from my biggest mistake that I made at your age? I lived in denial, which led to anesthesia, which led to infection, and now I walk with a limp. Just for me to replace this leg, and I have to do it every 3 years, is about $5,000. Walk with a limp. Hassles me. I walk on my knees sometimes more than what I do on my legs. You're here. You're Christian believers. Sometimes there are things that we feel are wrong inside here by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, by the teaching of our lives that we've received at church, by the direction we felt in our people, by the things we've learned from our word. There is a check in our spirit and it's not right. Can I tell you, if the Spirit of God is checking you by some way, by the word, by just the witness of your spirit, the conviction of your spirit, by what isn't right, can I please tell you, speak to somebody? Find somebody who you can trust, who can bring you out. Maybe somebody's saying something, doing something, approaching you in a way that you know is not right. Please tell somebody. Maybe there's things which you're formulating in your life. You're not too happy with this. Speak to somebody who can give you direction. God has placed men and women in your community here, your family, your parents. And speak to them and get some direction. Because I promise you, when you stop listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you become anesthetic to His voice. And as you become anesthetic to His voice, you will not feel when life has come against you and you get infected by the ways of this world. Ways that are unpleasing to God. Speech that is unpleasing to God. Attitudes that are unpleasing to God. You will get to that point. A thing called infection set into my body. It destroyed my foot. Can I equate that infection to sin? There is a way that God wants us to walk in it. Will you walk in it? If you don't understand, get some help. Don't become anesthetic to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Do something. Don't do anything you'll regret now when you get older. You're all going to get old like me one day if Jesus doesn't come. Don't live with regrets in your life. You still can make that change. When I was 13, 14 years old, the biggest mistake in my life is I didn't know. I didn't care what was happening to me physically. But there's a whole spiritual side to this. Get a hold of God. Get a hold of those around you. Because if I can say when you get to my age, if Jesus hasn't come, I don't want you to have any regrets. You don't have to walk with a limp. Amen.